I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to be back with you. So there's so much going on. We have really exciting things going on. We have the election rolling down. We have candidates arguing with each other. We have Joe Biden slipping and falling or whatever he does all the time. It's been interesting to watch, and it's going to get more interesting as we go forward. So some of the things, I guess, that I found really excellent was the Supreme Court voting 9-0 that Colorado and the other states cannot remove Trump from the ballot. Under this whole nonsense that they determine he committed an insurrection. It's absolutely ridiculous. Nobody has been charged with insurrection. Trump was not charged with insurrection. How any of these people get it in their head that they can decide. Well, you know why they do that? Because they come from liberal places where the law doesn't matter, rule of law doesn't matter. Constitutionality doesn't matter. None of that matters. They do whatever the hell they want to do, and they get away with it. You know, my father-in-law, Ted, is somebody I bring up all the time. Now, it's interesting. Ted is staying with us here at Castle Pangaro for 3 weeks because Ted's having his bathroom remodeled, and so he's staying with us. So now we have more conversations about these things. But what's interesting is that Ted comes from a generation, he's 90 years old, he comes from a generation when people expected the right thing to be done. If somebody was corrupt, they expected them to be called out. If somebody did something that was immoral, they expected it to be called out. And part of our conversational path is that we'll talk about the news, and it's one thing after another. Ted said, why doesn't somebody do something about these people when they just got caught lying? Or when they did this, or when they did that, and it's been proved that they did something wrong. I said, well, the reality is the people that are in charge are the ones that would have to do something, and they're not going to do something. Joe Biden would have to go to his Department of Justice, to Merrick Garland, and say, listen, this guy over here, Schiff, just lied to the American people for all these months about Trump, and I want him called up on charges or whatever charges you can find of lying to the public, whatever. I'm not saying specifically there's a statute for what he did, but you get my picture, is that you got to expect Biden to go after Biden people? They're never going to do it. Not like the stupid Republicans that go after each other all the time. And I say that more out of frustration than out of a desire not to hold people accountable on either side of the aisle. But the reality is, if the Democrats do something immoral, illegal, inappropriate, if they lie, do whatever, the entire party rallies around them, and instead of calling them out or holding them accountable, they change the rule, or they change the narrative, or they change the way something is described to make that person not a liar, not an immoral person, not a problem, as opposed to the other way. Now we watch the Republicans who flounder about going crazy over, we'll hold them to the rule of law, we'll get it. But they circle the wagons and they shoot each other in a circular firing squad. Now, if somebody does something wrong, they should be held accountable. That's what I say, they should be held accountable. But the fact that the other party does not do that gives me pause. And we talked about this the other day on a previous episode. You know, do we acquire the tactics of our opposition and then sink to their level? Well, the other side of that question is, well, would we then be called out for sinking to their level? Well, we would, because we don't have the media. We have Fox News, Newsmax, and America Out Loud. Other than that, the left in our country controls all the media. And that media would immediately jump up and down. And hypocrisy suddenly would become an important thing. That's hypocritical. They said they were going to do this and then they did that. Oh, my God. And it would be a never-ending drumbeat. You know, could you imagine, and I know everybody has said this, so I hate saying it over and over, but it is so clear. We all see it. But there's, again, this is why my father-in-law Ted's frustrated. If one of the Trump children had done what Hunter Biden has done, if Trump had had conversations with all of these, if his son Don Jr. had a conversation with this business, getting millions of dollars from China, millions of dollars from oligarchs in Russia, millions of dollars from fake setup jobs all over the place, it would never, ever end. Every single story you heard would be about the Trump family and Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and how they're corrupt. And the drumbeat would just go on and on and on. It would never, ever end. And that's the reality of the situation. And that is frustrating because there's nobody to hold anybody to account except for one side of the picture. The Republican side gets held to account by the media, which then, of course, filters out to the public because the public doesn't really pay attention. You know, they don't pay attention. They only listen to sound bites. They listen to MSNBC, CNN, and this other nonsense. They don't seek out any information, and they live in sound bites. Now, I'm not putting people down. I know a lot of people who are conservative Republicans who also don't pay attention to what's going on. They just have their own beliefs, and therefore they shape everything by those beliefs. So it's really interesting to see how this would go. So the question is, do we adopt the tactics of our opposition? Some things I think we should. I think for survival, it's that ethical line. It's the ethical line that you have to walk and say, okay, if we do not adopt the tactics of the left when it comes to elections, then how are we ever going to win elections in the future? If we don't lie about things the way they do and then circle the wagons so that no matter what, we change the narrative, we change the recording, we change whatever we got to change. If we don't do those things, we're not going to win. So we can stomp our feet, we could stand on a high horse and we could say, do the right thing always, no matter what it means, until you're completely out of power. And then your country and everything that we hold dear suffers. So that's the ethical dilemma. So when I ask that question, should we adopt the actions of our opposition? That might be the thing we have to consider. I think we absolutely should do this early balloting thing. I mean, we should have people go into the old folks' homes, and we should have people go into all these places where there's thousands and thousands of people that can't get out, and go in and help them fill out their ballot. We should certainly go in and do that, because it's the actual person's ballot. So if we just provide them with information and they sign off and vote for, you know, the candidate on the right, well, and we bring those ballots in and drop them in, we will not be starting down 500,000 ballots on election day, right? Conservatives, Republicans, those on the right, we like to do things traditionally. We like to go in and push the lever in person, in the voting booth. But you know what? That's not how the world works now. Our friends on the left have figured out a way to manipulate the election, right? How many times did you hear that there was absolutely nothing wrong with the thousands and thousands and thousands of ballots that came in that were filled out incorrectly? They weren't signed, signatures weren't checked, and the only person voted for, there's 10 people in there, senators, congressmen, dog catcher, and president, and the only one checked off was Joe Biden. Thousands and thousands and that. So you're telling me thousands and thousands of people just got their ballot, their mail-in ballot, checked off Joe Biden, didn't want to vote for senator, congressman, or dog catcher, and just sent them in. Well, maybe, I guess that's a potential that's what people did, but nobody followed the rules. The rules were clear in all of these states of how things you had to do. You couldn't change things at the last minute. You couldn't make up these rules on the fly. But their courts, which are corrupt because they're on the left, the courts let them do it. So when they jump up and down and say, this was all done correctly, well, it was, because the courts allowed impropriety. It's as simple as that. And it's going to happen again. We're only months away from the election. Now, people didn't like 2016. Did we fix the system? No, we didn't. We didn't like 2020. Did we fix the system? We didn't. Why not? Where's all these stunod Republicans up on Capitol Hill who should have jumped up and down screaming and hollering, we have to fix this before the next election. We have to make sure that there's integrity, that everyone can go to bed at night being confident that the election was fair, no matter which way it goes. If it goes your way or not, at least you know it was a fair election. Why don't we have that? Why haven't they done that? Right? Why haven't they done that? Well, I don't know why, and it's frustrating to me why we haven't fixed these things. It's easy to fix things, I think, when you have people who are deciding to do it. Now, I did see something. You know, we're seeing that people are declaring. The Attorney General said he's going to go after all of these state laws that are demanding an ID from voters because it's racist, it's wrong, it's inappropriate. Well, why would they say such a thing? You see these social media people going around and they're talking to minority individuals in our country, brother and sister Americans who happen to be minorities. And they're saying, is it hard for you to get an ID? Because that's what they say, it's racist. Do you think it's racist? They're going, no, it's not racist. I have an ID. I have a driver's license. I have a voter ID card. I have credit card. What are you talking about? It's not hard to get an ID. Over and over and over again. Some people I even heard, it was a young African-American guy. He goes, I didn't even know that was a thing. How is that racist? I have all kinds of ID. You can't function in life without an ID. But Merrick Garland and the Democrats, they're going to fight these laws that are going to have people have to come in with an ID. Now, why would you do that? Why would you take one of the most sacred things we do in this country, vote? Right? How powerful that is. That determines the course of the nation. And why would you go in there and say, no, we're not doing anything to verify who the person is. We're not doing that. That's unfair. That's racist. First of all, how racist is that to say people can't get an ID? What is this, 1938? Everybody gets an ID. You have to have an ID to function in life. So are we going to say that our minority brothers and sister Americans here, they can't get on an airplane because you got to have an ID to get on an airplane? They can't leave the country because you got to have an ID. You got to get a passport, you know, and they can't do it. They're too stupid. They're too dumb. They don't know how to do it. The people in the buildings are racist and will not let them fill out a form to get an ID. How disgusting is that for them to think like that? You know, these are the things that are racist when they use those things against our fellow Americans as a weapon, as a way to control the process by saying that there's things going on that are not going on. Now, is there still racism? Of course there is, right? No, I'm Italian-Irish guy. There's a lot of people that don't like Italians, don't like Irish, right? They don't like me. There used to be signs in New York City, Italian need not apply, right? Of course there was racism in this country, and there's still some racism pockets out there. But, you know, Charlie Kirk, I see him go around and talk to kids on campus. And they say, well, America is inherently racist. Our systems are all racist. And he says, okay, what is something that a white person can do that a black person is not allowed to do? What is there in America that a white person can do that a black person or Hispanic person cannot do? And these kids stumble over themselves. Well, it's systemic racism. No, give me an example. So if an African-American young man or woman decides, I would like a driver's license. I want to drive a car. And they go and apply for their license. People, oh, no, you can't have a license. You know, you're African-American. We don't give you licenses. Does anybody say that anymore? Of course not. Was there a time when that happened? I think there probably was. I think history can probably point to examples that there were. But it's not like that anymore. Right? So we fall back on these things in America to serve a purpose. So in the world of crime, we talk about follow the money if you want to know who did something and why. If there's money involved in a case, you follow the money and you find out who did what because it's about the money. Because money is the root of all evil, right? Well, it's the same thing with this. When you hear somebody clamoring, when the Attorney General of the United States says that he's going to fight against these laws that demand people provide an ID to prove who they are when they vote, you have to say, why would he do that? Well, the answer is very simple. We know that people vote 2 and 3 times. They've been arrested and charged and gone to prison for it, right? So we know that people do that. But if you had a system where you had to show your ID and it was documented that, oh, you voted once and it comes up, well, you already voted. You can't vote again. Then that would stop multiple votes, right? Because do we go back and check all those votes? No, we don't. We declare the winner and that's it, and we move on. If you don't move on, oh my gosh, we'll throw you in prison for talking about it because you're an election denier. As opposed to saying, something ain't right here. Can we make it correct? So you have friends, our friends on the left who are refusing the idea of making sure everyone has a voter ID and you identify who you are when you go to the poll. There's only one reason that they would do that. It's because they want to be able to continue fraud, right? Otherwise, you would just say, yeah, everybody gets a voter ID. And here's your ID. It's got your picture, your fingerprint on it. You could check it. We live in a world of technology, digital technology, that if you want to get into a building and you have biometrics, if you put your thumb on that screen, it only lets you in the building. We could certainly do that with voting as well. You'd register, get your voting ID card, and put your fingerprint in. And then when you go to the voting booth, you get ready to go, you roll your finger on the little screen, and it says, oh, that's Joe Pangara. It sure is. Go ahead, Joe, and vote. If somebody else comes in, tries to vote under my name, and they roll their little finger, they're going to say, no, this is not Joe. Something's wrong. Right? Ridiculous to say that people in our country cannot get ID. Everybody can get ID. You know, nobody's going to turn anybody away to get an ID. It's ridiculous. So that was important. That was on my mind. I wanted to get that out there. When we talk about integrity and honesty, something has come up with Nikki Haley. Now, I liked Nikki Haley when she was the ambassador to the United Nations. I thought she was okay. I didn't know too much about her. I knew she was a governor of South Carolina, and I knew she apparently did a good job when she was there. But recently, I have seen some character flaws in her. First of all, when you vet her out a little bit more, you find out she is more of a rhino Republican than a conservative Republican. She does some conservative things, for sure. But she's more of a rhino. She's more in the line of the Bush type of you know, meek, mild Republicans. But some things have come up about her recently that when I saw these two examples, it gave me pause. It gave me pause. In our country, there was a thing that used to be, say, a man is worth his word. Right? A man's value is his word, or a woman's value is her word. If you give your word, that means something. That's powerful when you give your word. You say you're going to do something. You shake somebody's hand and you make that commitment. That is the basic element of an ethical person, of a decent person, of a trustworthy person. They give you their word and then they abide by it. Well, I saw that a couple of things with Nikki Haley. She did say repeatedly that she would not run against Donald Trump. I won't do it. I won't do it. I will not run against Donald Trump. He gave me a great opportunity, blah, blah, blah. I will not run against Donald Trump. Well, we know she is running against Donald Trump, right? She's running for president against Donald Trump. And the other thing, they all, except for Trump, they all took a pledge to vote for all the candidates, the Republican candidates, all took a pledge that if they weren't the nominee, they would vote for whoever the nominee ends up being, including Nikki Haley. Right? So now we see a couple of things with her. Her word apparently means nothing. So she said she would take the pledge. And now, as it looks like, she's probably going to get swamped in the primaries and she's not going to be the candidate. They're asking her, are you going to, you know, vote for Trump? Now, I can see there's a political reason, a strategic reason, if you're in the running, to not say, of course I vote for him. But you say, I took a pledge and I will stand by my pledge. That's your answer. A person of honesty and integrity says, I took the pledge to support the Republican nominee, whoever that shall be. I think it'll be me, but I will support whoever the Republican nominee is. That's the right answer because you made that pledge, that public pledge. But now she says, I don't think I have to stand by that because I'm still running. I'm going to do this and I'll make a decision later on. And I don't know, you know, Trump didn't have to stand by that pledge. Well, here's the difference. Let's clear this up for when your idiot friends come to you and say, well, Trump didn't say he would vote for her if she wins because Trump didn't take the pledge in the first place. Now, you can have a problem with that. You could say, well, he should have taken the pledge, but he didn't. He did not take a pledge and say, I'll vote for the eventual run. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. She did, though. See, she put her word up there. her bond. Word is bond, right? She put her word up there and said, I will vote for the nominee, whoever it is. And now she's backing down with an excuse. Well, Trump didn't take it. Why should, if he's not going to take it? No. You put your word up. So you should stand by your word. And the answer should be very simple. If you're not the nominee, are you going to, and Trump is, are you going to stay? Yes, I would. I think I would be a better president. I think I'm a better candidate. And I think I'm going to win the nomination. But if I am not the winner, I will support whoever the winner is. And if that's Donald Trump, I'll vote for Donald Trump. That's the only answer a person of integrity says. But she backed away from the pledge. And she also said she wouldn't run against him. And of course, now she is running against him. So I heard her recently in an interview with one of the talking heads on the news. And they said, well, you said you wouldn't run. She goes, well, you know, that, yes, I did say that. But, you know, since then, we've lost 9 different elections, the Republicans, which is a whole nother thing about their incompetence and people's desire to kill their babies above everything else. But the reality is, she did say she would not run against him. But things changed. Things changed because we lost a lot of elections. So I have to run. I have to run now. Then when asked about it, basically her answer was, well, you know what? I could do whatever I want to do. That line right there, I can do whatever I want to do. Yes, go girl power. You can do whatever you want to do. But breaking your pledge, breaking your word, not once, but several times. You know, there's this whole clip that people have put together of her saying, I always say I would never feed the ducks. I would never, ever feed the ducks. And then she's feeding the ducks and she says, I never said that. I never said I wouldn't feed the ducks. Now, you know what I'm saying, right? I'm making a funny example. She doesn't stick to her word. That's the problem. She doesn't stick to her word. She wants to change things. I can do whatever I want. So what makes you think any of the pledges that she's going to make, knowing that the base of the Republican Party is all Trump people, not because people love Donald Trump, the orange man, and everything he says, but because he's a fighter and people like his policies. And she's, well, I'm going to do those policies too. I'm going to do stay in Mexico, and I'm going to close the border. And I'm, how can you believe she's going to do anything? Her word means nothing. That is why when your word is your bond, you stick with it. You don't change it. You don't do whatever you want to do. She just told everybody very clearly, doesn't matter what I promise you, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. I just want to get to the finish line. And that is what I really don't like about her. She's come out and told us who she is and what she's going to do very, very clearly. So, interesting. All right, so we're going to talk about the Supreme Court in a couple of minutes and the 9-0 decision. Now, it's funny to watch. I remember when Barack Obama made a comment about the court, about liberal justices and conservative justices, and John Snakey Roberts comes out and says, there are no conservative justices. There are no liberal justices. There are just justices. Here's another one. Here's a knucklehead who, of course there are. Then why do we put up certain people? We put them up because they follow what we think is correct. So if you're conservative, put up conservative judges. You're liberal, you put up liberal judges because their philosophy is liberal. If you want conservative stuff, you put up a conservative judge, right? That's how it works. Everybody knows it. It's absolutely true. And then John Rod, there are no liberal judges. There are no conservative judges. There are just judges. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. And we live in a world where ridiculous commentaries, stupid things people say, are taken as fact. They're taken as fact. But when we see this whole, you know, stop Trump, by stopping Trump, not by beating him at the ballot box, not by beating him with ideas, but by using trickery, chicanery, and using the law, lawfare, I think they're calling it, right? Using law to try and throw him off the ballot so that people can't vote for him, so he can't win again. That has become an absolutely accepted practice. It's perfectly okay. Let's do it. Let's bend the law. Let's twist it. Let's find ways to keep, let's charge him with as many things as we can so he's in trial the whole time. Maybe we'll get him convicted. Let's use the system against him because we can't beat him. and we don't want them in there, so let's do it. And you have the liberals doing it. You have rhinos involved with it. That is so corrupt. That is such a corrupt thing to do. You know, if people don't like what Trump stands for, then they shouldn't vote for him. But if they do like what he stands for, they should have a right to vote for him. And the fact that Colorado started this nonsense of, you know, some knucklehead in their government coming up with this, I believe based on my idiotic ideas that I think he committed insurrection and therefore he shouldn't be on the ballot as per the 14th Amendment. My interpretation of it. Well, who the hell are you to have an interpretation of the Constitution when you're not a judge, you're not a constitutional scholar, you're some knucklehead in Colorado who came up with some idea that you don't think he should be on the ballot, and therefore I declare he's not on the ballot because he committed insurrection. And then you got similar left-wing nuts across the country coming up with the same thing. Hey, yeah, Colorado said he's not going to be on the ballot. Well, we're going to say it too. And then Maine did it and a couple other places. And I think there were 30 altogether looking to kick Donald Trump off the ballot because he can't win if he's thrown off the ballot. Doesn't that make sense? Right? We don't have to worry about people voting for him. We'll just throw him off the ballot. That's a better way to do it. It's more, much more efficient. The fact that anyone in our country would think that that is the correct thing to do is frightening, because that's not the rule of law. That's not constitutional activity. That is Soviet style stuff. Look what happens in Russia today. If you're an opponent of Putin and you're running for office against Putin, all of a sudden you're charged with 400 different things that you did. And you get hauled away to the gulag, or you have a little acid tea and you die. That's where our friends on the left are headed. They talk about saving democracy. They are the exact ones who are destroying democracy to take us somewhere else. Now, I don't mean the Democrats at home, people that have always been Democrats in their family. I've told you 100 times, I got family and friends who are Democrats. I think they're misguided in their thinking, but they're not bad people. Right? It's the people in charge of the party that are going to use law and skip the Constitution and set up the system to get what they want. That's not right. That leads us down the road of tyranny. Okay, we'll be back in a minute with more.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, welcome back, everybody. All right, so before we get going, I got all wound up at the end of our first half of our little get-together. If you want to stay healthy, if you want to be healthy, do you want to enjoy your life and then enjoy the rest of your life? You know, one of the things we say around here, Miss Kathleen and I are having this conversation, you know, life is broken up into like 20-year blocks, right? So if you look at the average lifespan of a human being, I think men are 76 or 77, women are 80, something like that. If you average it out, say 80 years, you get 80 years. If you don't get hit by a bus or some tragedy early on in life, if you live a normal life with moderate health, you end up getting 80 years of life. That's what you get, 80 years of life. So when you break that down, using a sports analogy to figure out where you are, where you're going, Kathleen and I were talking about it, and I said, life is really four quarters long. You get four 20-year quarters in life. And depends on where you are is things that you should be considering. Now, for most of us, it's unfortunate that life goes so fast. You're in quarter one, and next thing you know, you're in quarter two, then you're in quarter, next thing you're in quarter four. And you just start getting good at stuff in quarter four, don't you? You finally reach yourself financially where you want to be, maybe. You got knowledge about the world. Your kids are grown up, and now you can do stuff, and you have really bad health. So it's funny. I'm in the fourth quarter, you know, because the first quarter is 0 to 20, second quarter 21 to 40, third quarter 41 to 60, and the fourth quarter 61 to 80. So I'm in the fourth quarter now. And I'm trying to take care of myself. I'm trying to stay healthy. And one of the things that I do for that is I use the Healthy Cell products. They're on the network here. You can find them. I like Immune Boost. I take Immune Boost, and it's kept me healthy for the last 3 years. I mean, I used to suffer with so many different nasal sinus things, and I really don't get them anymore. And if I do get something, it's gone in a day or so. They also make stuff for sleeping. You know, staying healthy, and if you have a sleeping problem, you take some of this REM sleep stuff they have, and it helps you to sleep and get the proper rest. And then they have something for focus factor. If you start to, you know, walk into the room, why did I leave my keys? Why did I come in this room? I you know, this helps you to pull your thoughts together. So, but it's the Healthy Cell products here on the network. So go take a look at them. But, you know, my thoughts on the fourth quarter thing, it's really interesting in that you start to realize where you're at. You know, you say you're in the fourth quarter. That means there's a lot more road behind you than there is in front of you. So I posted this on social media. I went out there and I jumped out and I said, hey, here's the fourth quarters. And, you know, are you doing the right thing? You should enjoy whatever time you have here on the earth, right? If you get the full fourth quarter life, that's great. And I had a lot of people bounce back and go, wow, why are you thinking like that? Is everything okay? And I said, what do you mean, is everything okay? Oh, well, I guess if you start thinking you're in the fourth quarter, you're starting to think that you're going to die, right? I guess. And that's something we have to, you know, wrap our heads around. You know, nobody gets out of here alive, right? So there's a lot of things you want to do, you know, as you're going through these quarters that I'm trying to pass on to my kids. So I pass this on. We have a family group text. And I just put that concept out to my kids. And Kathy jumps on and she goes, don't listen to your father. He turned 61 and all of a sudden he's thinking about the fourth quarter. And I said, no, nobody was here to tell me these things. I have children now who are in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. No, I'm sorry. that's thinking of me. I have kids in the first quarter. I have children in the second quarter. And yes, first and second quarter. And one soon to be in the third quarter. Going to be moving into the third quarter in a couple of years, right? So not a long. But I said, nobody was here to tell me any of these kinds of things. You know, when you're 20, you think you're indestructible. And you just live for the day. You know, you go, you party all night, like till 4 a.m, and then you go to work at 7 o'clock, and you make it through. You know, you get into your 20s, late 20s and 30s, and it's not as easy. Then you get into your 40s, and boy, you have a big night out, and it takes you 3 days to recover, right? So you learn to slow down a little bit. But the point being is that nobody was here to tell me these things, and this is not depressing. This is exciting to realize, you know. You have time to do things and be what you want in that fourth quarter to make up maybe for some things you couldn't do when you were younger. I couldn't write books when I was younger. I was raising children. I was a cop. I was working shifts. I was the detective. I was getting called out all the time. Now I do safety and security consulting, and I have time to write my books. I have time to go on vacation with the love of my life, my Kathleen. Right? I get to do these things, and I'm grateful that I'm still here. And I'm paying more attention to my health. You know, we go to the gym. Kathy and I go to the gym, and they're like, what are you doing in the gym? What do you think, you're going to pump up like Arnold? No, but why can't I be as healthy as I possibly can? Right? So that's what I'm doing. Because I get the four quarters, and I want to enjoy this fourth quarter as best as I possibly can. I want to do as much as I can. And my father-in-law, Ted, who's 90, Ted says, well, if there's four quarters up to 80, what the hell, what's up with me at 90? I said, well, Ted, you're in overtime. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, I guess I am. I hope it's not sudden death overtime. So he's got a pretty good humor about the whole thing. All right, so I just wanted to cover that and let you know about the Healthy Cell products, and I kind of weaved it into with this a little bit of philosophy with Lieutenant Joe here. Enjoy your life. If you have somebody that you loved at one point, and you had a bad breakup, and I don't mean an ex-wife or something, I mean somebody in your life. It could be your ex-wife, I guess. I don't know. A friend, a family member. You know, look at all the stuff when Trump came along. Families don't. I still have cousins that I love. We can't talk to each other, not because of me, but because of them, because they're crazy liberals. And, you know, because you like Trump, I can't talk to you. All right. So, and I miss them, you know. So if there's somebody out there you had a problem with, no matter what quarter of life you're in, you'll do yourself good by settling that hash. Is whatever you argued about that important to keep you away from the people you love? It's really not. And I would suggest that you go and you mend those fences. Right? It's much better to mend the fence. The other thing, this is philosophical time here for Lieutenant Joe. Another thing is the concept of forgiveness. Now, a lot of us go through life upset because someone or some people have hurt us, and we won't forgive them for what they've done, for what they said, how they treated us, how they did something or didn't do something, and we hold it. Well, you know who that hurts the most? That anger, that pain, that hurts you the most, right? And I know from life experience, I had some beloved family members that did some really I don't know if it was purposely nasty or whatever it was, it hurt me and my family very badly. And I spent several of my quarters angry at these people who I loved, angry to the point of refusing to talk to them, never wanting to see them, seething inside about them and what they had done. And I remember I was in church one day, and I'm listening to the homily, and the priest is talking about forgiveness and how it's important and who does this and turn the other cheek. And I'm saying, yeah, that's easy to say when you ain't been hurt like me. And then the more and more I thought about it, the more I realized that the people who hurt me, that I was so angry about, probably hadn't given a thought to me in 20 years, but I spent all this time being angry at them, seething at what they did, you know, just miserable over what they did. And it just became very, very clear one day that negative energy wasn't doing me any good. And what I decided to do was see if I could find a way to forgive them. Didn't mean we would be best of friends again, like family, like we should be. But if I could forgive them, I could let myself off the hook. You know, so it's really an internal thing you have to decide to do. And I made the decision that I was going to try and do it. You know, I was going to try and do it. And I initially started by saying, okay, I'm not going to be angry with them anymore. And that kind of fused into, well, I do forgive them. And I forgave them. And then over the course of time, happenstance, at events here and there, you come across people. And I had an opportunity to see them. And what I chose to do was to mend the fence. They didn't even know what they had done hurt me. And my family didn't really get it. I don't think they did. I don't know anymore. I don't care anymore. Whatever it was, we mended that fence and we healed it. And it brought the two different parts of the family back together again, to the point that my children are connected to my cousin's children. And they wouldn't have been if I had maintained being so angry and upset. But instead, I forgave them. And when I did, when I honestly did that, you know, the pain I suffered from what they did is still there. I still know it's there. I felt it all those years. It no longer controls me. It is no longer my waking thoughts. When I think of them now, I smile. And I remember the old good times. And I remember now that I'm not angry with them anymore. And I actually got to connect with them again. And in some instances, a couple of my aunts had passed away and died. But I was glad we reconnected because I really did love them. So that's the other thing I'm gonna offer to you today as we go through all of this vitriol about politics and who does what to who. And forgiveness is a huge gift you give to yourself, right? And I know that it works, and it's absolutely true. So if there's somebody you're angry with out there, go mend the fences. Don't go through life upset and angry. You know, fix it. Do the best you can, right? It's better to have love than not love, is what I say. All right, so we talked about Haley, and you can't trust her because she breaks her word. That's important. Word's important, right? Bond's important. Words and bonds important. So the Supreme Court votes 9-0 to say that Colorado's pencil neck official cannot just throw Trump off the ballot, and Maine's pencil neck official can't just throw him off because they don't like him or whatever. And we hear our friends on the left lose their minds. Suddenly, the three very liberal justices all vote with the majority that, yeah, you can't really do that. Although they did write concurrences that basically argued some of the merits. But in the overall, they agreed that, yeah, you can't throw Trump off the ballot. He didn't commit insurrection. It was not an insurrection what happened on January 6th. It was a riot, and it was a burglary. It was a trespass. It was disorderly conduct. It was assault on an officer. It was all those things. And those people should be held accountable for those things. But it was not an insurrection. You know, the crazy horned hat guy was not going to come out of Nancy Pelosi's office with the nuclear codes and I am now in charge of the country. That was not going to happen. It was ridiculous. It was not an insurrection. It was a bunch of people who were angry and upset, and it boiled over into a riot. And they did bad things. They broke some laws, but they did not commit an insurrection. They were not taking over the government of the United States of America. Right. And Trump was not an insurrectionist. He did not tell them, go down there and smash in that place and get Nancy. What he said was, go there and peaceably let your voice be heard. Right. That's what we're supposed to do as Americans. We're allowed to air our grievances against the government. Right. And that's all that happened that day. But they're trying to play you, and they're trying to play everybody. And excuse me. One of the things I see here in my notes, Biden's coming up with a new strategy for the election. He's going to try and taunt Trump to get under his skin. So Trump says some of these crazy things that he says when he gets taunted, because he doesn't like to be taunted, and he reacts back. Well, that's great. But how about talk about your policies, Joe? Let's talk about your policies that make, you know, the economy is great. Everybody loves 18% inflation. You know, so a pound of bacon is $8. Everybody loves that. Everybody loves a loaf of bread at $5 and a gallon of milk at $5. Everybody loves that. Why don't you just talk about that stuff? It's all good, right? So, I lead myself in these circles. But the 9-0 decision, what it affirmed is that there are some basic truths. And I'm going to be honest with you. I thought for sure it was going to be 6-3. I thought it'd be 6-3. I thought the three liberals, because they don't care about the rule of law, they don't care about tradition, you know, I figured they would say, no, you could throw him off because he's Trump, because they got, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, which is a real thing. It absolutely is. You see people get red in the face. They start spitting and screaming when they're talking about Trump. And What bad things has he actually done? He's gonna round people up and kill them. Well, he was already president. I don't think he rounded up anybody and killed them. You know, he's going to declare himself the leader forever. No, he had a problem with the election and he voiced that problem and then he left. You know that he left office? He drove away. They didn't have to drag him out with the guns and bullets. He left office. So all of these things that they're saying about him, they're trying to gin you up to get you upset. And it's just not right. And when the court voted 9-0, I had to say that even though they wrote concurrences to the decision where they agreed you can't just throw him off the ballot, that that's not the right of the states to do that kind of a thing. Even though they did write those concurrences and they came up with some things that they didn't like about it, they did the right thing. And when people do the right thing, you have to give them credit. And a 9-0 decision means that the liberals and the conservatives all saw the same thing. They saw the Constitution and they saw the law and they interpreted it correctly. You may not like it. You may have wanted really bad for Trump to get thrown off the ballot, but that's not right. Why don't you go beat him at the ballot box? Why doesn't Joe Biden and all his people come up with, you know, the 27 reasons that their policies are better than Trump's and how it's better for the country and then convince us of that? Don't lie about it. Don't make things up. Don't say things that are not true. Tell the truth and tell us how you know, $4 a gallon gasoline is good for us, right? And not just, well, it'll save the planet. You know, it doesn't save the planet, right? Cheap energy spurs our economy forward and everyone benefits, right? But that's the 9-0 decision. I thought that was good. And I have to say, I'm glad that the three liberal justices did the right thing. Even if they had some disagreements with, that's fine. They have a right to have disagreements. They're there to interpret things. But they all said the right answer. 9-0. You can't throw Trump off. You know, they wouldn't allow that lawfare to continue at their level. Now, we see our friends on the left on these news magazine shows. I can't. The court has abandoned the American people. The court has been thrown over by Trumpisms. No, you don't like Trump. You got a problem with Trump. You got a mental condition that you have this problem with Trump. But doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's true. Does he say some strange things sometimes? Yes. Does he insult people sometimes? Yes, he does. But do his policies work for America? They do. Our economy was better. Our military was stronger. Our standing in the world was better. Our energy was better. Our borders were better. All of the things that are out of control today, crime was not what it is today. All of the things that make a difference in our lives every day on the ground, no matter what the orange man says, no matter how nasty he says it, our lives were all better when he was the president than under Joe Biden and his policies. It's as simple as that. And when I talk to my friends on the left and they get this again, they start sputtering and spitting and this Trump. And I say, OK, what did he do? What did he do so bad? So if you go back 100 episodes ago, maybe more than that, 200 episodes, about a year. If you go back, there was a young friend of mine. There was another family we were good friends with when my older boys were young. And we went camping with these people. We hung out at each other's houses. Our wives got along. We had a great time. I had two older boys. We didn't have the younger ones at the time. So it was just my two older boys. And he had two boys. And his oldest was the same age as my oldest. And his youngest was the same age as my youngest. So it was a nice get together. When we got together, everybody had friends to hang out with. And I loved these boys. And I loved their family. And I think they loved all of us. Well, over the course of time, after 10 or 12 years of being, you know, fairly tight, we saw each other at least once a week as couples and families, and then we went camping trips and we did stuff together. That, you know, there was just a normal, natural falling out as the boys got a little older and they started doing different things. They all weren't doing the same sport, so we didn't see each other. You know how sports can be overcoming in your life. If anybody has children, you know. You're a soccer team and you're going to 17 soccer games or baseball or football or whatever it is. You go into all these different games and events, and it takes up all your time. You know, it does. Raising kids, if you do it right, takes up all your time. And that's kind of what happened to us. We started to go in different directions for no specific reason. We just did. So instead of seeing each other once a week, we saw each other once a month, and then once every couple of months. And then we kind of just drifted in our separate ways. And they actually moved. They bought a beautiful place in Pennsylvania in the mountains, and that's where they wanted to go. That's where they wanted to live. So off they went. But by this time, the boys were, oh, geez, I guess 18 were the older boys, and the younger boys were 15, 14, like that. Well, their oldest son finds out at that age that, I don't know what he ended up saying, but, and I thought I was close with these boys, you know, and I find out that he changed his name to Gwen, and he moved to New York City to live with his boyfriend. And I said, okay, right, so the kid's gay. All right, so what? That's who he is. That's who he is, you know, and he's got somebody that he loves. Good for him, you know. I wasn't freaked out by it, you know, and neither was his father or mother. They weren't freaked out either. It was different. No one expected it. Nobody saw it coming, really. And then all of a sudden, one day he makes this expression, this is who I am, and I'm going to go live in the city. And I thought it was okay. He was on social media. He changed his name on social media, and I was typing in something one day, and he liked something or saw something I did, and he liked it. And I said, hey, how's everything going, you know, in New York? And he was living in Brooklyn at the time. And he says, oh, everything's going great, you know, my life's going good. I got the job I want. I was very happy for her, right? I changed his name to her, so I could be respectful. And yeah, that's who he was. That's who he wanted to be. So I says, okay, that's great. I'm glad everything's going good. And, you know, it's exciting to live in Brooklyn because at the time, you know, the crime was low. It was pretty good. And she says, yeah, the only thing is this Trump guy. Gwen was very, very upset at the concept of Trump becoming president and was telling me, you know, Trump is going to round us up. People in my community are not safe now. He's going to round us up. He's going to put us in concentration camps, and he's going to try and change who we are and what we want to do in our life and make us do this. And with real vitriol and passion was she telling me this and going on and on about, and it was kind of shocking because this conversation came out of nowhere. How's everything? Glad you're in the city. And then there's Trump. Oh my God, Trump's going to do this. And lost her mind as she's telling me this. And I said, listen, whoa, take a deep breath. I said, I get that you're hearing these things. I said, but I have not heard him say anything about coming after your community, rounding you up and putting you in concentration camps. Where are you getting that from? And she says, well, I just know it. You hear the way he talks. He's a dictator, and he hates gay people, and he's coming after me. And it's not your life. It's my life that's going to be ruined. Bah! I mean, just really became unhinged. And I'm trying to talk her down, and I said, listen. If he were to do anything like that to you, someone I know and care about, I would jump in and stand up for you, but that's not going to happen. Nobody's going to do that. This is a modern world. Nobody is going to round people up and put you in concentration camps. But the thing was, she believed it and believed it with all her heart. And I remember, you know, the conversation ended kind of abruptly because I guess all of a sudden, well, I'm a Trump guy and I want to do that too. And it was bizarre. And I didn't talk to her for probably 2 years into Trump's presidency. I guess sometime during maybe the beginning of the pandemic, I end up seeing something on social media, and I popped in and said, hey, how you doing? What's going on, man? How's things in New York? Oh, things are good. You know, I said, hey, let's jump on a call. So we jumped on a call real quick, and I said, you know, I'm glad you're doing well. And last time I talked to you, you were so upset, and you thought all the things were going to end. Yeah, as far as I know, nothing happened, right? I mean, nobody's come to get you or anything. And she says, no, nobody has. But you know what? I know he would if he could. I know he would if he could. He'd come right here and get us. I said, well, you were afraid he was going to come and get you 2 years ago, so much so that you were hysterical about it. And now it's been 2 years and he didn't come and get you, but you're still afraid he's going to come. Why would you think he would come and get you? And she just could not explain to me why she felt that way. She just did. And no amount of talking or conversation, fact, could change the way she was thinking. And it was just, it was really sad, you know, it was really sad. And that's what I think a lot of people with Trump derangement syndrome are facing. They look at it started again. I watched CNN or CNBC or MSLSD or whatever it is. And I watched that and they're on there and they're losing their minds. Trump is the president. He is going to get concentration camps. He's going to round people up. He is going to murder his enemies. He's going to line them up and lock them up and put them away. And I'm saying, what is wrong with you? Right? If any president wanted to do that, you can't just round people up. You don't just say, go get them. Now, of course, under false pretenses, we can see that happen. We do see, you know, lawfare against Trump. So I suppose there is something to it, but I don't know that we could round up people because of their lifestyle and put them in a concentration camp. I don't know that we could lock people up for the kind of job they wanted to have or something. So I don't know. I guess you could see it either way. But the reality is Trump didn't do it. Who is using the law and the law enforcement and the laws and the courts against the people? Who's doing that? Is that Trump doing that? No, Trump was the president for 4 years. All he did was try and make us safer, happier, wealthier, stronger. That's all he tried to do with his term in office. And the fact that they're going back to that now and that Joe Biden says he's going to try and rattle him and use January 6th against him, who's going to believe that stuff? Well, I would say that half or a little more than half the country is going to believe it, right? Half or a little more than half the country is going to believe it because people have a tendency to believe these kind of crazy things. And I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't see the truth in it. But they're going to do it. And I'm looking forward to this year to see how this is going to come out. But I'm going to circle back to where we started here. You know, what do we do? How do we go forward? Well, go support your candidate. Get the facts. Live your life. Don't get caught up in this every single day. It's the end of the world thing. We'll deal with things as they come, right? If Biden wins again and they socialize the country more, you know, there's not a lot we're going to be able to do about that. But all we can do is draw closer to our family and our friends, pray to God that the world comes out good, and hope that America regains its place in the world as the leader of everything. All right, everybody, I got a lot of my pages of outrageous here I didn't get to, so we'll be back again shortly. I appreciate you being here. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.